But if I find somebody else and I don't need you, damn. What if I was made for you and you were made for me? What if this is it? What if it's meant to be? What if I ain't one of them fools just playing some game? Yeah, what if I just pull you close? What if I lean in and the stars line up and it's our last first kiss? What if one of these days, baby, I go and change your mind? What if I love?
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At least 87 now dead across five states in Texas, and dozens are still missing following devastating flash flooding on July 4th. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan in Kerrville.
A wall of water 28 to 30 feet high rolled down the Guadalupe River and into this community Friday, taking out everything in its path. But as quickly as it rose, the water receded.
It's like it went from zero to 100. Back to zero in no time.
Brian Young has seen plenty of floods in his 30 years in Kerrville.
But I've never seen the aftermath like this.
Cleanup is expected to take months. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Kerrville, Texas.
In central North Carolina, at least one person is dead after remnants of Tropical Storm Chantel triggered flooding and evacuations in Chatham County. Businesses and homes also impacted. President Trump moving to place a 25% tax on imports from Japan and South Korea due to what the president called trade imbalances with the U.S. This is ABC News. Several prominent medical organizations have filed suit against Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in connection with him replacing all members of a vaccine advisory panel.
The lawsuit accuses the health secretary of illegally dismantling the advisory board to the Centers for Disease Control and replacing those he fired with people who hold anti-vaccine viewpoints. Plaintiffs include the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Infectious Diseases Society of America, and the American Public Health Association, as well as two pregnant women, all of whom are asking for Secretary Kennedy's rollback of COVID vaccine recommendations to be undone. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Attention shoppers, if you're looking for some deals this week, you're in luck. Retailers are launching major sales, led by, of course, Amazon's annual Prime Week. Target, Walmart, and Best Buy are among other big-name retailers that are rolling out price cuts. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Progressive knows when you own a boat or RV, it's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected, your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
At Straight Talk, we are all about no-brainers. Calling Grandma for her recipe. No-brainer. Streaming one more episode at 2 a.m.? Big no-brainer. Getting real unlimited data where you buy bananas? The ultimate no-brainer. Switch now and get a free Samsung Galaxy A16 5G or Moto G Power 5G 2025 with select plans. Straight Talk. Real unlimited data. Available at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. Offer valid through 7/2025. Taxes and fees apply. Requires in-store activation of single-line gold unlimited plan or higher. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com/terms. Copyright 2025 Verizon.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Aylin. I'm Raymond Newpert. A new report from the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health highlights the struggles that rural fire and EMS services are facing. EMS program manager James Small says nearly half the departments in Wisconsin aren't able to respond to calls with a basic level of firefighting.
They're relying on mutual aid for that, and that puts a lot of pressure then on the neighboring agencies to then help fulfill that request. Almost everybody's having this issue with the declining number of volunteers and a lack of financial resources.
Small says regionalizing and consolidating fire and EMS services could help address that issue. The newly signed Wisconsin state budget will include $1.3 billion in tax cuts. Bob Haig has more.
The tax cuts were a signature part of the budget compromise between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Republican leaders in the legislature. The state's second lowest tax bracket is expanded to include single filers and heads of household earning up to $50,480 and jointly filing married couples earning up to $67,300. Evers signed the budget early last Thursday morning following a marathon legislative session. His office estimates state taxpayers will see an average savings of $180, with most of the reductions going to filers with incomes of less than $20,000.
Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says last week's state Supreme Court ruling, which invalidated an 1849 criminal abortion law, will ensure that for now abortion remains legal in Wisconsin. Following that ruling by the court's liberal majority, Pro-Life Wisconsin says it will continue the fight to outlaw abortion without exception in Wisconsin. Delavan police are investigating after a 57-year-old Illinois man was found dead on a boat on Lake Delavan on Saturday morning. No foul play is being suspected. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and comfortable today with high temperatures in the low 80s and clouds holding off until late tonight. As they start to build in, we could hear some rumbles of thunder overnight and be waking up to a few spotty showers. Otherwise, more sunshine for the afternoon and a few thunderstorms are possible later. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
On what to expect in the week ahead, the grain markets are under heavy pressure to start the week, and the weather has something to do with that. Let's get an update on crop conditions from the middle of the Corn Belt and check in on trends in the used machinery market.
Live from the land of accelerated trends via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Machinery Pete. That's Greg Peterson. Then it's Ken Ferry from Crop Tech Consulting. And later, Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. Directly following the news, Brett Waltz from BAM WX. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Hello. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Is everything okay? That was a long holiday weekend. Everything good down there?
Everything is great. You betcha.
Good.
Got some sunshine. Spent some time, you know, getting to know the grill a little bit. You know,
awesome. That's spectacular.
And celebrated a lot of enthusiasm for our great, fantastic, incomparable nation this weekend. God bless America.
Yes. We took the opportunity that was presented as well. Mm-hmm. Davis.
Good.
And the grill was active. The celebrating was happening. The good times with friends was a real thing this weekend. So it was a good weekend. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. We're back at it.
Well, yeah, and I've already established today. I've asked some of my coworkers. We do have five in a row to cover this week. But not all of us will be observing all 5 days, as I understand it. And that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little county fair action that we might have to take in before now and the end of the week.
I wouldn't dream of asking you to miss that, Chip.
No, absolutely not. We got to go see what the grandkids have got cooking at the county fair.
Yep.
So, all right. Just absolutely devastating weather events down in Texas. Well, and the Carolinas. We can't forget that Chantel rolled in there and did some damage. But the loss of life in Texas is just heartbreaking. And, boy, we're thinking about everybody down there and praying that that there's some comfort available to those people somehow, some way.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really tough. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the weather with Brett coming up here in just a bit. We got Greg Peterson on tape again today. He's out on the road. Ken Ferry talking crops. and Naomi Bloom at the end of the show talking about the potential for a summer rally in corn and what that rally might look like.
All right,
let's go ahead and get to the news. Yeah.
Sure thing. The National Weather Service is calling for a moderate risk of flash flooding for central Texas for ongoing impactful flash flooding, which may hamper recovery efforts. An enhanced risk of severe thunderstorms is in effect for portions of the plains today. Severe wind gusts and damaging hail are the main threats there. Tropical Depression Chantel continues to move across the mid-Atlantic, with local flash flooding possible and extreme heat out in the west. Currently 83 degrees and sunny here in KC. Should be a nice day here today, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a nice day up in northeast Iowa as well.
Now, corn, soybeans, and wheat faced heavy selling overnight, Chip, coming out of that holiday weekend. The U.S. dollar index was nearly 200 points higher, and front-month crude oil futures were trading just below unchanged ahead of the open. Here, just after 10 a.m. Central Time.
Yeah, tough day.
Double-digit losses in the corn and the soybeans. Oh, look, and the wheat, too, because why not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, 11 to 12 cents lower in corn and 20 to 30 cents lower in soybeans this morning. It is a tough start to the week.
Indeed. Well, the Senate will be in this week, while the House will no longer be in session after the chamber lost 2 days of its expected break last week as they came back to vote on the one big beautiful bill. The lower chamber was originally to be in this week, but leadership canceled all votes for the week and most committee sessions that were on tap to have been postponed. President Trump says he will not extend the 90-day pause to tariffs that expires on Wednesday the 9th and will begin sending letters to countries specifying the tariff rates they will have to pay. But the increased tariffs will not be implemented until August 1st, leaving a little bit more time for some countries to negotiate. Chip, we talked about this last week. Will he extend it? The market maybe believed he would. Now he's saying he won't.
Yeah, the letters are starting to go out at noon, and I guess according to Treasury Secretary Bessent, the letters are going to include this is what the tariff on goods coming from your country is going to be going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a couple here with some sort of specifics. The European Union and the U.S. are making headway toward a new trade agreement after a Sunday phone call between European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and Trump. That, according to a commission spokesperson, with the White House's July 9 deadline looming, officials say negotiations are entering the end game and progress has been made, though final details are still being worked out. South Korea seeking to extend a 90-day suspension of 25% U.S. tariffs set to expire, with talks slowed by disputes over tech regulation and agricultural market access. And one more here. Chip, Trump said the U.S. will impose an additional 10% tariff on anybody aligning themselves with the anti-American policies of the BRICS group of developing nations, whose leaders kicked off a summit in Brazil on Sunday. In a joint statement at the opening of the summit in Rio, the group warned the rise in tariffs threatened global trade, continuing its veiled criticism of Trump's tariff policies. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Good morning, Brett.
Hey, good morning, Chip.
Man, what a heartbreaking weekend of weather it was down in Texas, huh?
Yeah, it's really just it's hard to comprehend. You know, that rain, it was so heavy in such a localized fashion, but it hit in right in the wrong spot, if you will.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those folks are dealing with more rain this morning. I'm just looking north of like Austin, Texas, and last 3 hours, another 4 or 5 inches of rain has fallen in a relatively small area. But still, that's a lot of rain for areas that have been hit so much over the past couple of days.
Yeah. There's not much room left in the sponge down there. It's all going to run off any bit they get.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Okay. Risk of some thunderstorms, severe weather in the Central Plains today.
Yeah, I'm looking especially at south central South Dakota, central and western Nebraska, northwest Kansas. I think that's probably the bullseye in terms of the biggest threat. I do think that more widespread severe storms will be possible. Could see some gusts up to 70 miles an hour, large hail. Would not be shocked to see an isolated tornado or two, too.
Okay. Does that threat move to the east later this week?
A little bit. I do think that the Midwest, maybe not as notable in terms of the severe threat, but we'll continue to see rain opportunities ahead. Though, as we kind of talked about last week, it's probably in that messy fashion. But regardless, most areas continue to get in on those timely rains.
All right. Give us that 30-second summary of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, I would say that as we go just over the next couple of weeks, the plains generally continuing to stay more active, not seeing notable heat. If there's one problem area to kind of keep an eye on, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, starting to dry out a little bit. I also think it's warmer than normal there over the next couple of weeks.
All right, gotcha. Thank you so much, Brett. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chip.
All right, Brett Waltz, BAMWX.com. Coming up next, like I said, Greg Peterson is out on the road, but he didn't forget about us. Left us this message coming up next on AgriTalk.
At Hexagon, we are experts behind the world's most precise machines, from race cars and jets to tractors, sprayers, and combines. In the field, our technology provides farm equipment with sub-inch precision. Pass after pass, field after field, year after year. Anywhere you farm, anytime you need. We are guiding your equipment and maximizing your potential. Keep up with the agriculture evolution by trusting Hexagon in your fields. This is how Hexagon is empowering agriculture. See how at hexagon.com.
The Dirt with me, Mike Howell, an economics podcast where I present the down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Inspired by economics.com, farming's go-to informational resource, I'm here to break down the latest crop nutrition research, news, and issues, helping farmers make better business decisions through actionable insights. Let's dig in.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Maximize your equipment potential with the ultimate upgrade from Titan and Goodyear Farm Tires. Titan's LSW technology is a simple bolt-on solution that provides track-like performance in a super single tire without the headache of track systems. American-made LSW tires improve fuel economy, traction in the field, all while reducing soil compaction and power hop. Visit Titan-intl.com to chat with real tire experts about how Titan and Goodyear Farm Tires are your ultimate upgrade for your best performance in the field.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.51% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Hey, Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, is out on the road again this week, but he shared this message for you.
Hey, folks, Machinery Pete here. Sorry I'm not able to be on live with Chip and Davis. Holding down the fort, but I'm on the road again this week. Thought we'd give you a little update on the used farm and Cuban market. Always a little slow around the 4th of July, on the days running up to the 4th, and then the days after, of course, family time. People are busy doing things, and on the topic of family time, gosh, our hearts go out to the folks down in hill country of Texas, down around San Antonio there. Wow, just horrific news this weekend. Machinery Peter, I'm a father of, used to be two little girls. Seems like yesterday, but now our little girls are in their 30s. And remember in the summertime, dropping them off at Bible camp just down the road from us here, Spring Valley, Minnesota, all the excitement of the girls to make new friends and the activities, and the heart just breaks for those folks down there. So I'm sure we join with all you listeners out there, sending our thoughts and prayers to those affected. On the machinery front, I guess if I had to pick Machinery Pete pick of the week, it would be a loader tractor that sold last week. And we've been talking quite a bit now, going on, I guess, two to three plus years now, how the loader tractor segment has been the definitely the strongest in the used tractor market. As we understand, with relatively better conditions in the livestock and dairy sectors. But last Wednesday, our friends at Big Iron had a sale, and from Flandreau, South Dakota, came a very sharp 20-model Kubota M6-141 with a loader, had 848 hours on it, wound up selling for $85,500. And when you go to our website, machinerypete.com, and, of course, all the auction prices are free. If you hop in there and search by highest price, you'll see that that M6-141 at $85,500, that's the third highest auction price I've seen. Kind of interesting, the only two higher were both back from 22, which, as we talk about often, that was kind of the clearly the high water mark that I've ever seen, ever in the used farm equipment market. Back then, in May of 22, we had a sale, saw a sale in Emmitsburg, Missouri, where a Kubota M6-141, 20 model, only 373 hours on a loader, brought $87,500. And then later that year, December 30th of 22, in Washington, Iowa, my friends at KDK Sales and Equipment had an online consignment sale where they sold a 19 model M6-141, 725 hours on a loader for $86,500. So again, the one sold Wednesday at $85,500 is the third highest that I've seen. One other item of note on that sale Wednesday by Big Iron, they sold a 23 model Schaefer 6680T telescoping wheel loader, 237 hours on it. Kind of a cool rig. I believe it might have came off the same seller in Flandreau, South Dakota. I went for $81,000. So that'd be my pick of the week for prices. If we talk, I guess we should touch on one other sale. This week ago, it was last Monday, June 30th. If we dive into what's been happening with the big, big, big late model equipment at auction, our friends at Steffes Group had a sale out in Williston, North Dakota, out there in northwest part of North Dakota. A ton of late model equipment on that sale. Just a couple highlights. Had a 23 model John Deere 9RX 640, 726 hours on it, went for $520,000. In a one-year older model, a 22 model 9RX 640 with 1,053 hours, went for $438,000. And if we use that model, that 9RX 640, of course, big, huge track tractor by Deere, the average auction price this year now is at $475,643. Kind of interesting to look back last year, the average auction price was not that much higher, really. It's only $488,256. So it hasn't really fallen. The average hasn't really fallen much this year. And I think so far this year, that's because the volume of units is down. So, for example, last year in 24, we saw so many late model units sold at auction. And if we talk 9RX 640s, the last half of last year, I saw 31 sold at auction. So we'll be really interested to see from July forward here, 25. I don't think we're going to see quite a heavy volume, but definitely, you know, there are some dealer auctions with some more volume starting to appear. Couple other highlights on that sale last Monday by Steffes Group on Williston. They sold three 23 model John Deere 6R250s with loaders, again, drifting back into that loader category. And they had one with 211 hours, one for $240,000. One with 280 hours came in at $233,000, and one with 287 hours at $236,000. And, you know, I thought pretty solid pricing there. So again, that's on the auction price front. Now, there are some upcoming auctions need to talk about. One is a week from today, Monday, July 14th. I'll actually be at the sale. It's in Mandan, North Dakota, sale by Omer Auction, Brent Omer and the team there. Really a growing auction company. They do an awesome job. Check out their website for this one, omeronlineauctions.com. This is a sale for Berger Cattle Company, Freddy Berger Estate Auction. Now, Fred Berger, I'm sure many of you listeners knew Fred. He passed late January of this year at age, he was only 67. But Fred had an amazing life, highlighted it on Ag Day TV today on my Machine Repeat segment about this auction. Fred was well known throughout the country in the cattle sector and also bull riding. I think he had just been inducted into the Bull Riding Hall of Fame in Fort Worth, Texas in the year before Fred passed. So many friends, and Fred lived an amazing life. His generosity, helping people, a big heart. Friends again all over the country. And I really liked Omer's note on the sale bill. It said, hosting this sale is not only a privilege, it's a chance to celebrate Freddie's legacy. So I'm excited to be out there next Monday, July 14th. And again, check out omeronlineauctions.com. Quite an equipment list on this sale. Over 50 trailers, tons of pickups, lots of construction equipment. I think over 10 Bobcat skid steers, over 10 UTVs. Late model equipment, they got a very interesting tractor, a 22 model Deutz Fair 6140 with a loader, only 293 hours. Feed trucks, a bunch of those, including a 23 model Peterbilt 537 with a Sioux automation 20-foot 4600 feed box, only 2,738 miles on that rig. Back to construction equipment, they got a pair of 22 model Hyundai HL930A XT wheel loaders and some really nice hay equipment on this auction next Monday, including a 24 model Massey Ferguson WR235 swather with a 9316D head. And also kind of a cool item we're starting to see a few more of hit the auction market, of the Vermeer self-propelled baler. This is a 22 model ZR5-1200. It's got 11,317 bales through it. So, again, I'll be out in Mandan a week from today, July 14th at the auction. Hope you can join us. Again, celebrate Freddie's legacy and watch this great machinery sell. A couple other upcoming auctions to watch. Actually, tomorrow, our friends at Adam Marshall Land and Auction out of Kearney, Nebraska, have their statewide, which actually is Nebraska, Kansas, and Colorado, online equipment auction. No buyer premium. No reserves. They've got a 22 model Kenworth W900 semi, just over 337,000 miles on it. Got a 16 model John Deere S680 combine, 1837 SEP hours. And then one really cool item, a 1975 Chevy Scottsdale 20 pickup with only 36,453 one owner miles on it. And I posted a picture on our social media. It's kind of a light green. I can only describe it as kind of an early mid-70s light green. I know my dad had an old Pontiac car that color back in the day. Made me smile when I saw it. So, again, that sale's tomorrow. Just go to marshallbid.com for that one. But then also a sale coming up, if we go down south, Thomasville, Georgia, tomorrow, by Wiregrass Auction Group. Got some interesting items on this one, including an 18 model John Deere 8320R, 3,317 hours, a 16 model 8295R, 5,840 hours on it, an 08 John Deere 8330 with just over 9,000 hours. So we'll be watching that one as well. And again, things will start ramping up here as we move away from the 4th of July. But again, we certainly appreciate all your support of our website, machinerypete.com. And again, remember, folks, all our auction prices are free there. We want you to look at the pricing before you buy, sell, or trade. So with that, we will hope you have a great week, and catch you next week back Monday here on AgriTalk.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Greg. We appreciate the updates there. And for you thinking about it, sounds like we're going to have another recorded message next week because it's a busy time of the year, and he is out on the road. Coming up next, we're talking crop conditions. Ken Ferry, Crop Tech Consulting, Farm Journal Field Agronomist.
Minnesota cattleman and world champion steer wrestler J.D. Struxness talks about the benefits of using Purple Wave Auction.
You know, I love visiting with them. They do a fantastic job. They know their machinery. And, man, if you're in the market to buy anything, they are the easiest way and the most helpful people to get you what you need. It's as easy as the click of a mouse to get on there and buy something.
Anything and everything you need for your farming or ranching operation, all at super affordable auction pricing. Visit purplewave.com. That's purplewave.com.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Feed costs can add up fast. At Alcivia, they help you lock in pricing on key commodities through forward contracts. They source directly, run their own trucks, and move product efficiently through the Fall River facility. The result? Competitive pricing and reliable supply. Protect your margins, reduce risk, and plan ahead. Visit Alcivia.com or call Alcivia today at 608-819-4401. 608-819-4401 to talk strategy. Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 19 to 1821, September down 17 to 1884, October down 12 to 1910, November up 3 at 1895. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, they are moving higher with triple-digit gains. Some strength in some of the outside markets, helping to support the markets as well. Higher box beef prices also helping to support not only live cattle, but also feeder cattle markets. The hog markets are mostly higher as well, with the exception of the nearby month. Again, there's been a little bit of profit-taking, but otherwise, we have some wild price swings. For today's cutout report, bellies were up $13.83, and that is providing some support to some of the deferred contracts. August live cattle up $1.70 to $2.1575. August feeder cattle up $4.05 to $3.1355. July hogs down 65 cents to $107.32. Trade issues, along with some positive weather as well, all affecting the grain markets, as the forecast does still have some rains falling over, on and off over the next week, along with seasonal temperatures. That should be good for corn and beans. Also, the concerns about what's really going to happen on July 9th, as there are reports that some countries will get a break until August 1st on tariffs, others will not get that break. So that has the markets on the grain side spooked. New crop corn down 15.5 to 421.5. New crop beans down 29.75.
Feeling better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure. But you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want too. We're Amplify Health, and we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
News of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Learn from the experts at Yield Academy in Rochester, Minnesota on August 21st. Use promo code AgriTalk for a 50% discount. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you were with us on this Monday morning. And boy, the way looking at these grain markets, it feels like a Monday morning. There's no question about that. We've got some hefty pressure out there. Part of it has to do with some of the crop conditions that we've got. I want to get an update on some of the spots out there from Ken Ferry, Crop Tech Consulting and Farm Journal Field Agronomist. Ken, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good to be with you, Chip. Doing good.
Yep. Good, good, good. All right, talk to us about Central Illinois, right around your home base there. How are things looking?
Boy, I tell you, Chip, it really looks phenomenal right now, both corn and soybeans. Soybeans were slowed up there a little bit in what we call the carbon penalty. They're off and running now. Man, a lot of these cornfields are gearing up for, looks like, a pretty decent pollination window. Our early April corn is pollinating, or is already done pollinating, depending on the maturity range. But so far, most of it's pretty good. I do think my later April May corn is going to pollinate even a little more uniform, but a few aphids here and there, some tight tassels. So there'll be some hiccups on an individual field basis, but right now it looks like pollination's going to go off without too much of a hitch.
Okay. Help me out. Tight tassels?
Yeah, it's kind of a condition that's kind of rare. You see it sometimes in rapid growth. Sometimes it can be related to an earlier season stress where the tassel wraps the leaves wrap the tassel so tight at the beginning of pollination. So you can end up with some poor pollination at the bottom, hybrid related and other stresses related. But again, I think there's going to be a few fields in there, and we do have some aphids that we're chasing. But right now, I think this is going to be a big week for pollinating the Illinois crop and into next week. And it sure looks like the conditions are there for that to happen.
What are you hearing from people across the country? Are there any spots that we really need to be concerned about?
You know, I took a trip from here up to northeast Iowa this weekend for the holiday, and a 380-some-mile trip. There's only 20 miles of it, maybe, that I would say that is showing stress. So locally, the I states look pretty good. Haven't been out into Ohio, northwest Ohio. I know it's fighting a lot of water in parts of Indiana, fighting a lot more water and that type of thing. So I'm not so sure of what takes place to the east of me. But as far as our state goes, it looks pretty good. And getting some reports of some wet conditions in Wisconsin as well.
Yeah, yeah. Was the stress in the last 20 miles of your trip to northeast Iowa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was surplus water.
Exactly. It's too much water. You go from Arlington over to Volga, and I know you know exactly where I'm talking about, and that's the area. It goes up to Decorah. There's a spot of some good corn-growing ground up in northeast Iowa that right now they wish they had 12-foot tiles, not 30-foot tiles.
You definitely know where every tile is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think I drove by the exact same acres this weekend, buddy. Okay. Any diseases that are starting to develop out there that we need to be on the watch for?
Of course, all the diseases are present. Our earlier corn is showing more of the GLS and northern out there, and some fields are at threshold, need to be sprayed. Probably the one that has us the most nervous is tar spot. We started finding that about 10 days ago. When you find tar spot on the bottom leaves in June, that's something to be concerned about. So we're pushing hard for our guys to be out there scouting and putting that into their factors when they're deciding to spray, what to spray, when to spray. But tar spot in August, we kind of got used to that. There isn't a situation where will you get tar spot? We know we will. Tar spot in June can be kind of rough. So that has me probably the most concerned right now. I'll be back out in the fields today and all week, and we'll be looking for how many more fields. But we're finding it north of us. We're finding it south of us. We're finding it in corn that's four-leaf from tassel and corn that's tasseling. So it's an environmental condition that's driving it, and that's one everybody's going to have to stay on top of.
Okay, so there are some diseases that if you see them, it's probably too late. That's not the case with tar spot, is it? You want to catch it as early as you possibly can, but if you see the signs, there is still time for an effective treatment, right?
Well, yeah, you can't stop it. You're just going to try to slow it down. Most diseases, right, we worry about the ear leaf and up. So if I'm worried about rust or northern or something like that, I want to protect the top of the plant. So I can see it at the bottom of the plant as long as I stop it before it nails the top. One of the problems with tar spot is it's kind of parasitic in nature. So if it attacks the bottom of the plant, it'll suck nutrients right out of the plant to feed that fungus and a situation, then it'll kill the plant prematurely. So you do have to be more aggressive with tar spot. You got to get it shut down. The sooner you get it shut down, the less damage that it can do. And I say shut down, slowed down is kind of where it's at. So whether you spray once or whether you spray twice is kind of the call on the tar spot and how susceptible you are when it shows up.
Okay. All right. Just a couple of other things before we get to corn and soybean college here, Ken. The early planted beans, did they lose their advantage from being planted early this year?
Boy, not down here, Chip. We're into R3 on our March and April planted beans, and they're rocking. So they're in full R2 flower, R3. Right now, you would definitely give the yield advantage to them. Now, some of these beans were caught in that carbon penalty, and they stalled out for 3 or 4 weeks. But that didn't change the flowering window. It just changed the height, the growth, how much space between nodes and that type of thing. So fields that I'm in would be a big thumbs up for the early planting right now. Now, we got a long way to go to finish this, but their pod set is looking pretty good.
All right. Good. There's a reason that it works, and it's good to hear that it's working again this year. So talk to me about corn and soybean college. I mean, many listeners know what happens at corn and soybean college, but give us that description to get everybody informed here, Ken.
So this year our theme, I guess you would say, is making a stand, and we're going to focus in the corn side. We're going to focus on what a good stand is, how you get it, what it means, and that process. And you know, there's a lot of ways to go about it because everybody has different systems, whether no-till, strip-till, conventional, you name it. We're going to spend some time in additions to the planter. And there's an area, right, when you buy a planter, you can double the cost of that planter by what you have for your add-ons, your additives to the planter that you want, your accessories. And it's all about picking the right one. You know, kind of you need a new vehicle, right? And you talk to your buddies and they say, you need a new Corvette. It's the best thing out there. And you go to the internet and you look at Corvette owners and what they think, and they think it's the best thing out there. And the salesman thinks it's the best thing out there. It's expensive, but it's the best car you'll ever own. So you trade your minivan in, right? And you bring home a new Corvette, and you meet your wife and four kids at the driveway, and they're wondering, what are we going to do with this? So everything you were told is correct, but the fact is it doesn't fit your system. And there's so many different systems out there today that when it comes to making planter purchases, add-on purchases, anything like that, you have to think of through the whole process. How's this going to work for me? Will it work for me like it works for the neighbor? So we're going to spend some time on that. Missy's going to help us out with that. And we're going to be in the field doing diagnostic work behind that as far as being able to identify a good stand and what caused it not to be a good stand. We're going to talk about hybrid characteristics and different things in the rooting structure of corn. We're going to be blending that all in with, again, strip-till, no-till, cover crops, and that whole process. Similar with soybeans. In the soybeans, we talk about early planting, and early planting means better yields. But early planting is a system, and you got to build that system around it. So we want to talk about row spacing, population, soybean characteristics out there. When can we stress the plant? When can we, you know, not stress the plant to cause some loss of the gain that we have? And kind of developing a systems approach to early soybeans versus just planting them early and then try to treat them like you would normal beans, you can get surprised in the yield. So going to be a lot of building blocks. And we're also going to get into sprayers and nozzles and nozzle coverage, that type of thing, which is going to be functional, especially when you manage things like tar spot and diseases in the soybeans.
Once you get into the sprayers, it's almost like you have to add another day to this thing. July 22nd, 23rd, is that right?
That's right. And it's going to be packed. So it's a situation, sometimes we get criticized for putting too much in that slot, but the goal is to jam in as much as we can, and then you can, you know, digest through that. As far as we'll bring it back to you in our winter college, we'll review that same material and then we'll add data to it. So if you're buying a ticket for the 2-day event, you get automatically, you're enrolled in our winter college where you'll actually get to see the results from those trials that you went out into and dug plants and that type of thing.
Cool. Where do we go for more information on this, Ken?
So definitely to go to the website, croptechinc.com, click on the Corn Soybean College tab, and there will be all the agenda and enrollment. They can get enrolled right there. We have some special discounts. We call it a truckload discount, which is 5 to 9 people, and then above 10. So for the groups that are coming. And if they want to, they can use that number there on the website and call in and register, by check, so they can avoid some of the credit card issues that are there. But a situation where, as you get registered, it's a good group, right? Usually it's from about 23 states in Canada that are there. So there's a lot learned at the lunch hours and everything else with all the other farmers that are in that mix.
Yep. No doubt about it. And August 21st, you are going to be participating in the Yield Academy, Farm Journal Yield Academy, up in Rochester, Minnesota for the final day. Go to farmjournalyieldacademy.com. Use AgriTalk as your code. You can get half off. You can see Ken. You can see David. You can see Randy. It's going to be a good time. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate you, buddy.
You bet. Glad to be with you.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer lets you easily compare direct rates from different insurance companies, so you can be confident you're getting the right one, even if it's not with Progressive. Way more confident than you were when you tried online gaming. Who knew 12-year-old boys could be so mean?
And where did they learn to swear like that? 2 hours of losing to these underage trash talkers, and you're starting to question if maybe you really should stick to pickleball and other boomer stuff.
So use Progressive's Auto Quote Explorer and be confident you're getting insurance that's right for you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. 800-917-8730. That's 800-917-8730.
Podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode. Dr. Grove, I guess the next big nutrient we need to talk about is potash. What kind of changes did you make in your potash recommendations?
We discovered that our potash recommendations in the maintenance part of our tables was inadequate. Yields have gone up, potash removal has gone up, and the recommended maintenance rate was too low. Again, it was expanded. It didn't go up quite as much for the cereals, for corn and for wheat, because the grain composition has shifted to a slightly lower percentage for K in terms of wheat and corn grain. But it got higher for soybeans. So we have a major increase in the K2O maintenance recommendation for soybean, and we have modest increases for both wheat and corn. Corn yields, of course, are quite a bit higher, and they've been growing at a faster rate than wheat yields. So again, that one went up more than wheat did. But the bottom line is our wheat small grain potash recommendation went from 30 to 40. For corn, it went from 30 to 50. For soybean, it went from 30 to 60 pounds K2O per acre. But like I said, it's not like we're promising a big ROI for this. It's more like it's protecting against a deficiency if you're not soil testing every year, because you're putting on that maintenance rate, then you're protected better against a very significant loss in fertility before you get back to pull a soil test again.
If you'd like to dig in deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com. And stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain and eat away at your bottom line. At Central Life Sciences, we believe in making every kernel count. Our Gravista and Diacon IGR family of products are proven solutions for post-harvest insect control, providing lasting protection as grain is being loaded into storage. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn how you can make every kernel count.
If you're looking for promises to overcome yield-threatening challenges, you might go with Big Seed. But if you're looking for real results, go local with Champion Seed. We know that what yields in one field may not be the right seed for the field across the road. That's why we test hundreds of traits and genetics every year to handpick a seed lineup that will perform. And we use local data to dial in on what grows best in your ground. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Champion Seed. Every field deserves its champion. Find yours at plantchampion.com.
Lazy element coming up tonight.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Monday morning. Okay, so I was putting together guest list for this week, last week, and talked to Naomi about being on the PM show. It turns out we can't do that because of my schedule, but she mentioned some research into what is a July corn rally. So I wanted to get her on here and talk about that. Naomi Bloom, Total Farm Marketing. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
You bet. Glad that you are here. Before we get to your research on a July corn rally, Naomi, some heavy pressure to start this week. It's got to be more than weather.
Right. I think it's a combination of weather forecast being quite lovely for the moment for grain production, but also President Trump's speech in Iowa just didn't have any big fresh demand news for farmers in terms of exports or anything new above and beyond on the biofuels front. So the market was a little bit hopeful for that. And just because we didn't see those two pieces of news and then with the weather forecast looking good, it was a reason to start the day with lower values. And that's kind of been a theme lately. We start the week lower on Mondays, but as the week progresses, things turn back higher into the weekend. So I'm kind of wondering if we might see that again this week. We've got the WASDE report to prepare for on Friday. And of course, still a lot of summer weather ahead of us. And if the forecast shifts at all as this week progresses, I think that you could see that this sell-off that we've had today on Monday might be a short-term buying opportunity for a slight price rally.
Okay. All right. Slight price rally. We've talked a lot on the PM show about what makes up a rally in corn this year. Is it the typical, you know, 60, 80 cents, or do we have to look at 25, 30 cents as a rally in this corn market right now?
Yeah, we have to, I think, temper our thought process on that just because of right now the perception being bigger supplies available, of course, here in the United States and the world. But if the weather forecast turns to hotter, or there's a lot of farmers who still have the derecho storm from 2020 in their minds, and they think about that. The Iowa farmers that I talk to, you know, they're so excited because their crop looks good, but those are the same folks that dealt with derecho, and they're nervous. They just want to make it through the summer without anything disastrous happening.
Yep, gotcha. Okay, talk to me about the research that you did on a July corn rally.
Yeah, so looking back at the last 17 years, you know, of course, most of the seasonal rallies do occur in May or June, but we just never saw that this year. So there were 5 years where the summer rally occurred during July. Of course, one of those years, 2012, because of the drought, and the rally actually extended into August. But the other 4 years, there's a pretty distinct pattern that's there where we're looking at 2010, 2015, 2017, and 2020. And those were years where the market was able to inch higher into the July WASDE. And it was a fast rally. Some of those years, the rallies only amounted to 25 or 30 cents when you're looking back to years where we had higher projected carryout. But the theme was the same. The rally occurred. And then after the July WASD, now this is the key part, after the July WASD, then the market had the reality of a seasonal sell-off lower into August. So the thought process there would be, though, that if we can see this pattern continue where we have a low push on Monday for prices, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, prices kind of claw back, and maybe we get some sort of friendly news on Friday, it could come from tighter beginning stocks on corn, which then lends into lower carry in for the following year. And corn demand, let's face it, has really been fantastic. Usually the USDA doesn't do a lot of tweaking or massaging for yield on the July WASD. A lot of times they wait till August. So my hope, my thought would be if we can see any recovery bounce as this week progresses, hey, farmers, it's your opportunity to get some more sales on the books and then look at hedging then for the latter part of July as that seasonal tendency does then effectively take over. So be on your toes. It could be a big week for markets yet. With President Trump pushing back the a lot of the tariff deadlines now to August 1st, it allows maybe a little bit hope that we can get some trade deals done, and that's what we're going to be keeping an eye on as well.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the supply side of the market going into the WASD report, even though we've got that June acreage report, the update on acres there, supply side of WASD is old news now because there just isn't going to be much change from what we had from March.
Right. So that's where, we can expect and understand that side of the balance sheet. And what we'll be watching for is any clues on demand. Of course, we do need to keep an eye on what the USDA is going to say about Brazilian corn production or Brazilian soybean production. That could be something that kind of takes some of the excitement out of the marketplace. But again, if we can see any type of a movement higher into that, or if we see any adjustments to demand that are positive, that just helps to solidify things going forward for the next few months on the demand side. And then we'll see if we can get any new export demand drummed up because of tariff and trade negotiation.
Naomi, I just do not recall this wide of a range on the Brazilian corn crop expectations this late in the year. It's hard to remember a range in expectations as wide as it is right now, ever.
Oh, I know. It's just ridiculous when they're, looking at what it could be, what is it not? It makes me think like, okay, Brazil, do you have a clue what's actually going on down there or not? Who are your people that are putting these numbers together for you? But looking at the most recent WASD report, USDA has Brazil production at 131 million metric tons for the 25-26. And then there are some trade estimates out there. Cheapers. What was the high side? Was there a 150 that somebody threw out once? And I
it's out there.
Yeah,
it's so out there. No question about it. So
I don't think that the USDA is going to go to that extreme, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see a little bit of an uptick.
Naomi, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us this morning for that research. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
All right, come back this afternoon. Brian Split and Davis are going to keep the conversation going.
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. People who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At least 90 are dead across 5 counties in Texas after catastrophic flooding. Search continues for the missing. Kerrville City Manager Dalton Rice.
From Hunt all the way to Comal County in a straight line distance is over 100 kilometers.